Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 10, The Battle Between the Demigods and Demons, Text 39. I'm not going to read the Sanskrit because this is the story time. This is our story time because we have around 25 verses of just story. So bring your refreshments. Translation. In the course of the battle, the war field became strewn with the severed heads of heroes. So try and picture that. Nice way of starting the morning. See all the severed heads, but they're heroes. And their eyes still staring. That's even more vivid. And their teeth still pressed against their lips in anger. Helmets and earrings were scattered from these severed heads. Similarly, many arms, decorated with ornaments and clutching various weapons, were strewn here and there, as were many legs and thighs, which resembled the trunks of elephants. So this is very good to read right before you take rest. Pleasant dreams. Many headless trunks were generated on that battlefield. With weapons in their arms, those ghostly trunks, which could see with the eyes and the fallen heads, attacked the enemy soldiers. So you see how enthusiastic they were about fighting. Even the heads were cut off. Still, they picked up their, in the form of a ghost, they picked up their bodies, and through the eyes of their severed heads, they continued on with the fighting. I mean, that's determination. After you're dead, you're still wind up fighting. Purport. It appears that the heroes who died in the battlefield immediately became ghosts. And although their heads had been severed from their bodies, new trunks were generated. And these new trunks, seeing with the eyes of in the severed heads, began to attack the enemy. In other words, many ghosts were generated to join the fight, and thus new trunks appeared on the battlefield. Maharaj Bali then attacked Indra with 10 arrows and attacked Airavata, Indra's carrier elephant, with 3 arrows. With 4 arrows, he attacked the 4 horsemen guarding Airavata's legs, and with 1 arrow, he attacked the driver of the elephant. Purport. The word Vahan refers to the soldiers on horseback who protected the legs of the carrier elephants. According to the system of military arrangement, the legs of the elephant bearing the commander were also protected. Text 42. Before Bali Maharaja's arrows could reach them, Indra, king of heaven, who is expert with arrows, smiled and counteracted the arrows with arrows of another type, known as bala, which were extremely sharp. When Bali Maharaj saw the expert military activities of Indra, he could not restrain his anger. Thus he took up another weapon, known as shakti, which blazed like a great firebrand. But Indra cut that weapon to pieces while it was still in Bali's hand. Thereafter, one by one, Bali Maharaj used a lance, Prasa, Tomara, Rishtis, and other weapons. Whatever weapons he took up, Indra immediately cut them to pieces. My dear King, Bali Maharaj then disappeared and resorted to demoniac illusions. A gigantic mountain generated from illusion then appeared above the heads of the demigod soldiers. How would you like to fight with someone who could create a mountain? Going to smash you in the head, and he can't even see where he is. Pretty difficult battle. That's called martial arts. You can, if you had the power in martial arts, to create a mountain. And what else does he create? From that mountain fell trees blazing in a forest fire, chips of stone with sharp edges like picks, also fell and smashed the heads of the demigod soldiers. Scorpions, large snakes, and many other poisonous animals, as well as lions, tigers, boars, and great elephants, all began falling upon the demigod soldiers, crushing everything. Oh, my king, many hundreds of male and female carnivorous demons, completely naked and carrying tridents in their hands, then appeared, crying the slogans, "Cut them to pieces! Pierce them!" Fierce clouds, harassed by strong winds, then appeared in the sky, rumbling very gravely with the sound of thunder, they began to shower live coals. Difficult, tough day. A great devastating fire created by Bali Maharaj then began burning all the soldiers of the demigods. This fire, accompanied by blasting winds, seemed as terrible as the Samvartaka fire, which appears at the time of dissolution. Thereafter, whirlpools and sea waves, agitated by fierce blasts of wind, appeared everywhere, before everyone's vision in a furious flood. While this magical atmosphere in the fight was being created by the invisible demons, who were expert in such illusions, the soldiers of the demigods became morose. O king, when the demigods could find no way to counteract the activities of the demons, they wholeheartedly meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the universe, who then immediately appeared. Seems that even for the demigods, one has to go through great difficulty before one remembers to take shelter of Krishna. What to speak of ourselves? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes resemble the petals of a newly blown, blossomed lotus, sat on the back of Garuda, spreading his lotus feet over Garuda's shoulders. Dressed in yellow, decorated by the Kastuba gem and the goddess of fortune, and wearing an invaluable helmet and earrings, the Supreme Lord, holding various weapons in his eight hands, became visible to the demigods. As the dangers of a dream cease, when the dreamer awakens, the illusions created by the jugglery of the demons were vanquished by the transcendental prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as soon as he entered the battlefield, indeed, simply by remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from all dangers. O king, when the demon Kalanimi, who was carried by a lion, saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, carried by Garuda, was on the battlefield, the demon immediately took his trident, whirled it, and discharged it at Garuda's head. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the master of the three worlds, immediately caught the trident, and with the very same weapon, he killed the enemy, Kalanimi, along with his carrier, the lion. In this regard, Śrīla Madhvacārya says, Kalanim ya ya daya sarve harina nihata api sukreno yojvita santak punas tenaiva patitaha. Kalanima and all the other demons were killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, and when Sukracharya, their spiritual master, brought them back to life, they were again killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thereafter, two very powerful demons named Mali and Sumali were killed by the Supreme Lord, who severed their heads with his disc. Then Maliyavan, another demon, attacked the Lord. With a sharp glove, the demon, who was roaring like a lion, attacked Garuda, the Lord of the birds, who were born from eggs. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, used his disc to cut off the head of his enemy also. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, The Battle Between the Demigods and the Demons. Chapter 11, King Indra Annihilates the Demons. So now we get an idea who's probably going to win. So the summary of the chapter. As described in this chapter, the great saint Narada Muni, being very compassionate to the demons, who had been killed by the demigods, forbade the demigods to continue killing. Then Sukracharya, by his mystic power, renewed the lives of all the demons. It's called raising people from the dead. Having been graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods began fighting the demons again with renewed energy. King Indra released his thunderbolt against Bali, and Bali fell. His friend Jambasura attacked Indra, who then cut off Jambasura's head with his thunderbolt. When Narada Muni learned that Jambasura had been killed, he informed Jambasura's relatives, Namuchi, Bala, and Paka, who then went to the battlefield and attacked the demigods. Sometimes it's hard to figure out which side Narada Muni's on. Bala and Paka, who then went out to the battlefield, attacked the demigods. Indra, king of heaven, severed the heads of Bali and Paka and released the weapon known as Kulisha, the thunderbolt, against Namuchi's shoulder. The thunderbolt, however, returned unsuccessful, and thus Indra became morose. At that time, an unseen voice came from the sky. The voice declared, "A dry or wet weapon against cannot kill Namuchi." Hearing this voice, Indra began to think of how Namuchi could be killed. He then thought of foam, which is neither moist nor dry. Using a weapon of foam, he was able to kill Namuchi. Thus Indra and the other demigods killed many demons. Then at the request of Lord Brahma, Narada went to the demigods and forbade them to kill the demons any longer. All the demigods then returned to their abodes. Following the instructions of Narada, whatever demons remained alive on the battlefield took Bali Maharaj to Astika Mountain. There, by the touch of Sukracharya's hand, Bali Maharaj regained his senses and consciousness, and those demons whose heads and bodies had been completely lost, had not been completely lost, were brought back to life by the mystic powers of Sukracharya. Again, we continue on with the story. This is chapter 11. King Indra annihilates the demons, and we begin by reading some more translations. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thereafter, by the supreme grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, all the demigods, headed by Indra and Vayu, were brought back to life. Being enlivened, the demigods began severely beating the very same demons who had defeated them before." It's not that if you become a demigod, success is automatic, because only God, Krishna, is never defeated. The rest of us, by being in the material world, is the defeat. And therefore, the whole idea is Krishna makes arrangements so we can take shelter of him and end this defeat of material existence. When the most powerful Indra became angry and took his thunderbolt in hand to kill Bali Maharaj, the demons began lamenting, "Alas! Alas!" Please repeat that. Alas! Alas! Alas. Alas. You didn't repeat it. Sober and tolerant and well equipped with paraphernalia for fighting, Bali Maharaj moved before Indra on the great battlefield. King Indra, who always carries a thunderbolt in his hand, rebuked Bali Maharaj as follows. Indra said, "Oh, rascal, as a cheater sometimes binds the eyes of a child and takes away his possessions, you are trying to defeat us by displaying some mystic power, although you know that we are the masters of all such mystic powers." Text number 5. Aru Rukshanti Mayad Bir. utsi shrip chantit ye divam tandasyan vidunam yagyan nan purvasmachcha padad adaha. Aru rukshanti. Persons who desire to come to the upper planetary systems. Mayad bi. By so-called mystic power or material advancement of science. Ut sis rukshanti. Or want to be liberated by such false attempts. Yay. Such persons who? Divam. The higher planetary system known as Swargaloka. Tan. Such rogues and ruffians. Dasyun. Such thieves. Vidu naomi, I forced to go down. Agyan, rascals. Purvasmat, previous. Cha, also. Padat, from the position. Adaha, downward. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those fools and rascals who want to ascend to the upper planetary system by mystic power or mechanical means, or who endeavor to cross even the upper planets and achieve the spiritual world of liberation, I cause to be sent to the lowest regions of the universe. Purport. There are undoubtedly different planetary systems for different persons. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 14:18, Ordvam Gachati Sattvasta, a person in the mode of goodness can go to the upper planets. Those in the modes of darkness and passion, however, are not allowed to enter the higher planets. The word divam refers to the higher planetary system known as Swargaloka. Indra, the king of the higher planetary systems, has the power to push down any conditioned soul attempting to go from the lower to the higher planets without proper qualifications. The modern attempt to go to the moon is also an attempt by inferior men to go to Swargaloka by artificial mechanical means. This attempt cannot be successful. From the statement of Indra, it appears that everyone attempting to go to the higher planetary systems by mechanical means, which are here called Maya, is condemned to go to the hellish planets in the lower portion of the universe. To go to the higher planetary system, one needs sufficient good qualities. A sinful person situated in the mode of ignorance and addicted to drinking, meat-eating, and illicit sex will never enter the higher planets by mechanical means. It is said that not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction. And therefore, whatever Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is eternally true. And one of those truths is that according to our choices in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes, we get suitable results. It is not that one can achieve a destination in the West by going east. Similarly, one cannot go to the higher planetary systems by acting in the mode of ignorance. And therefore Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita what these modes are and what the results are. And Prabhupada cites this verse, Urdvam kachiti sattvasta, madhe tishtiti rajasa, jagana guni vritisa, ado gachiti tamasa. Now one works in the mode of goodness, he goes upward to the higher planetary systems, and if one acts in the mode of passion, he comes back to Ljubljana, and if one is in the mode of ignorance, he goes down to the hellish worlds. And therefore, one should know what actions are in the mode of ignorance, what actions are in the mode of passion, and what actions are in the mode of goodness, and what transcendental actions are. Then we can make a decision. If we want to go to hell, then we will know how to go to hell without any problem. Because we'll know exactly what qualities we have to develop. The Krishna says, Dhamba, Dharpam, Bhimamascha, Krodha, Parusham, Evacha, Aganam, Abhijat, Tasya, Parthasam, Padam, Asarim. Though those who are suras act in the mode of goodness, Dhamba, they're full of pride, Dharpa, and envy, Bhimamas, false ego, Krodha, anger, Parusham, harshness. So, if one acts like that, then one goes. Every activity, like there are innumerable planets in this universe, practically speaking. So every thought, every activity, every thought we become attached to, every activity that we perform, that this is creating for us a new destination. Everything is calibrated very finely for every gradual deviation from one mode, mixing with the other modes, there's a certain planet and a certain species of life which pertain to that. Therefore, Krishna gives so much description. Karmana sukritasya hu, sattvikam nirmalam palam, rajasas tupalam dukam, agena tamasa palam. That if one acts in the mode of goodness, then he becomes enlightened. Karmana sukritasya satukam. He becomes purified. Rajasas tupalam dukam. And if one acts in the mode of passion, eventually one will become unhappy. If one acts in the mode of ignorance, one will become crazy. Sattvam samjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobha evacha. Pramado moha evacha. So what is this that causes this amalam in the mode of goodness? Sattva sanjayate jnanam, knowledge. If we act with transcendental knowledge, not just ordinary mundane knowledge, but transcendental knowledge that we're not this body, that we're actually eternally servants of Krishna, then one will become Krishna conscious, and in the association with Krishna, one becomes purified. So from knowledge comes purity. And how does one get unhappy? Sattvam samjayate jnanam, rajaso, lobha evacha. If one acts in the mode of passion to satisfy one's lust, one will become greedy. And greedy means great deal of anxiety and misery, trying to fulfill the insatiable greed. Pramada moha evacha. Now in the mode of ignorance, Krishna mentions three things. Pramada, illusion, moha is illusion, pramada, more or less madness, moha, bhavato jnanam evacha, and lack of knowledge. Lack of understanding our eternal position, lack of understanding God, lack of understanding the laws of nature, karma, etc., etc., that will lead one to madness as one tries to navigate in the material world, trying to be happy in the most miserable places. Therefore, even the attempt to go to the heavenly planets by artificial means or even by sacrificial means has, since time immemorial, proved to be a failure. So to do something over and over again and you get the same result, and do it again, thinking that there'll be a different result, that's called madness. So one does not take advantage of Krishna's knowledge, then one will simply remain in ignorance and eventually become mad. It's certainly frustrating. The material world is appearing and is always alluring the conditioned soul to come and enjoy. And he comes and eventually he suffers. Quite discouraging. But due to the forgetfulness of the conditioned soul, he forgets all the misery he went through in order to enjoy. And then again, punak punas charavita charavananam, he begins to chew to try to enjoy the same way he did before, expecting a different result this time, but it winds up to be the same misery. The conclusion is, we shouldn't try to become Indra or Bali Maharaj. We should accept Krishna's instructions and try to elevate our consciousness. By the elevation of consciousness, then one will be elevated in one's situation. Otherwise, if we try to get something without elevating our consciousness, we'll get exactly the opposite of what we were expecting. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Who gave class yesterday? What's that? You did. Any questions, comments? Now finally the demigods and demons, the battles.
Thank you, Maharaj, first for coming back. So happy to have you give class. My question is, how do we conquer over lust?
Well, we don't conquer over anything, but as it says, we can conquer Krishna. And how do we conquer Krishna? By trying to do something to please him. And how do we do that? Jnane priyasam udapastanamandeva. We give up our desire for liberation through mental speculation, the desire to get out of the miseries of material existence. Jnane priyasa udapasta namande, and we become submissive to the vivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya vartam, to the words spoken by the great sages. So we listen to the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then stanesita, we don't have to change anything. Shudigatam vanuvangmano vira. Simply we have to agree to, according to what we heard, to engage our mind, body, and words in Krishna's service. Then Krishna, who conquers everyone, then he becomes conquered by such service to himself. And if Krishna appears before us being conquered by our love, then lust, anger, and greed, and all the other material contaminations go away in the presence of Krishna. Due to the ecstasy one feels in Krishna's presence, that ecstasy burns away all the contamination within our heart. Anything else? No questions? No. All right. Khwala, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.